Well, good morning and welcome to FEC, everybody in the big room, those of you online. I'm so glad that you're joining with us today. Finishing up, as Peace told you, our little series, Ingredients for Life. Next weekend, we're moving into something brand new, a series that's called Holy. That's a short word with a lot of meaning, but who is this God that we call holy? And if he is, why on earth is his church so completely messed up? And could I, like me, ever really become a holy person? What does any of that actually mean? If you're wondering where God is, how he might possibly be involved in your life, whether he could care less or not, I think you'll want to be here to listen up. If God seems distant or remote, or the only interactions you've ever had with people that follow Jesus leave you feeling kind of weirded out, I think you'll want to be here. And if you've ever wondered, has God just forgotten about me? Nobody cares. I think you'll want to be here. But today we're at this final ingredient, Peace said. We've been thinking about joy and about prayer. And here's the third one. Thank God. Learn to be thankful. Express gratitude. If you want to know what makes for a great life, what the ingredients for that life is, learn to be thankful. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to his friends in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything, give thanks to God in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. Seems simple. Maybe difficult. 4-year-old boy was having at his family's Thanksgiving meal. I read this story. It's kind of cute. And he'd been asked to give thanks at the table. Everybody was there, the whole extended family. They're all gathered around waiting for the big meal. And he started thanking God for all his friends that he named. And then he thanked God for his mom and his dad and his grandparents who were there and his aunts and uncles and his cousins. And then he got to the menu, working his way through the turkey and the dressing and the gravy and the potatoes and the fruit salad and the pie that was going to come later that he hoped he'd have enough room for. He was working his way through. And then there was a pause. This enormous pause, and everybody's waiting for him to try to finish. And he looked up at his mum and he whispered, if I thank God for the broccoli, will he know I'm lying? Maybe that's how some of us feel. We're not quite so thankful about having to get braces. We're not quite so thankful that the dishwasher flooded your kitchen. You're not quite so thankful that somebody bumped into your car in the parking lot, left a dent, but they didn't leave a note. None of those things are very straightforward. We're certainly not thankful when we get medical results that are not very encouraging. Nobody's thankful about the sudden death of a loved one or having to find a new place to stay because your rent has tripled in the last month. It's not always easy to be thankful. How come? Why is gratitude so difficult for us? I mean, I get it when life deals you a severe blow and you're just reeling. It can be hard to be thankful in the moment. We've lived that. We get that. Something terrible happens. You're just like, whoa. But in a regular day, a day like today, the routine, get up, have your breakfast, wander into church. It's not even at 9:15 in the morning. You can come later and laze around. At least I can. In a normal day, why is it so hard to be thankful? You know what I think? I think we are living through an epidemic of complaint and dissatisfaction. We've been through the pandemic, at least we hope so. It's been hard relationally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, psychologically, financially. It has been really, really hard. We've lost so much, more than we can sometimes express. It's hard. And now we know something about long COVID as well. People that struggle with loss of smell or taste, weariness and fatigue, reduced capacity for conflict or change. Just leave me alone. Fragility and fear. It hurts. We hurt. And one of the features of this new reality, I think, is this epidemic of complaint and dissatisfaction. We're not happy about our working conditions. We struggle with our boss or with our co-workers. We're not happy about how our government's handling anything right now. We're facing high inflation, increasing interest rates, the possibility of recession. It all seems imminent. We don't even enjoy the things we used to enjoy a couple of years ago. It all seems too hard. And fairly quickly, this unhappiness that we experience, this struggle, it feels like second nature to us. suddenly it becomes easier to be dissatisfied with just about everything and to complain about everything. Customer service, cost of living, our neighbors, the healthcare system, church, nobody seems to be happy about anything anymore. Nobody seems to be very thankful, but we've got tons of things to complain about. Sometimes that probably results out of a sense of entitlement that sneaks up on us. We believe that life offers us more, should offer us more. I want to live the good life, my best life. I've put my time in, it's my turn, I'm owed, my company owes me, my family owes me, somebody owes me. My life should be better, I deserve better than this. Sometimes it's just greed. We'd like to have more. Dissatisfaction as a way of life is fueled by our consumerist culture. It eggs us on. It feeds our notions of entitlement. We want more. We want better bodies, newer cars, fancier vacations, more beautiful homes, finer coffee. And somehow wanting these things easily morphs into the sense that we deserve them. And greed begins to take hold of us. And greed easily becomes envy. It's not just that I want what somebody else has. It's that I don't want them to have it. I don't want them to have the vacation that I can't afford. I don't want them to receive the recognition that's never been given to me. I don't want them to get the job that I didn't get. I don't want them to enjoy what I can't. Envy. And if that's not enough, it turns out it's not enough just to feel it. We feel that we need to express it. It's not just stored up in the inside somewhere, making us bitter. We got to get it out there. And so we grumble and complain. Everybody else needs to know, and the result, we fracture even more relationships. Community begins to crack and fray around the edges and gets undermined. And our sense of loneliness and abandonment just increases. We feel worse than ever before. And it's a cycle that never seems to end. Can anybody relate? So what are you supposed to do then? Suck it up? Is that it? Just pretend everything's okay? Even if your grievance is justified? Even if you actually have been wronged by somebody? Are we just supposed to ignore it, keep your chin up, don't let them get you down, just plow through? Seriously, does God really expect us to give thanks for everything? Well, no, actually, he doesn't. Look at the Bible verse again that we've been looking at these past few weeks. Paul writes this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ, of God for you in Christ Jesus." It's not giving thanks for all circumstances. No one is thankful that their child has an addiction. No one is delighted to be told that they have cancer. No one is grateful for the heartache of infertility. No one has a glad heart when somebody that they love has been abused. Nor should we. And while I'm here, let me just pause for a minute. If you've ever suggested that to somebody, that they should be thankful about those things, please don't. Just stop it. Stop it. It's not helpful, and it's not certainly what God's word says. Why don't we take some time just to listen, just to sit, just to cry with someone, just to hear their pain? And if you feel the urge to say something because you can't contain yourself, well, why not just say, "This is awful. I'm sorry." None of us hope for bad things to happen to us. We all long for the happily ever after story. We're not masochists, and neither is God. He's not sitting somewhere up in heaven thinking of bad things to do to you just to see if it'll make you tough or see how you'll respond as though it's some kind of test. That's not who he is. He doesn't get a kick out of making people miserable. But he does know what we know, that we all live in this very fallen and broken world with limitations where bad stuff happens. People do get sick and die. Accidents do happen. Misunderstandings occur. Communication breakdowns are frequent. Life happens. Stuff happens. And when Paul wrote these words, he never once said, be thankful for all your circumstances. But he did say, be thankful in them. Well, what's the difference? In the ancient Stoics, you still find modern ones, but the ancient Stoics, many religions, even currently today, even some Christians, believe that everything happens for a reason. That's not in the Bible either. They don't necessarily happen for a reason the way you think. People that believe that sort of stuff, they believe the life you're living is the life you deserve. You just need to suck it up and do your best. Work with the hand that you've been dealt. That's that. But when you look at the scriptures carefully, you will find something very, very different. Turn to Romans chapter 8 with me. If you've got a hard copy Bible, or there's one in the chair back, or use your phone or device. Romans chapter 8. Let me read some verses to you. We'll start with verse 18. Let's get going with this one. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the unrevealing of the children of God. He's saying there that all creation standing on tiptoe like this, stretching their necks forward like some big giraffe, trying to figure out what's going to happen next. Trying to see what's going to come, because God says it's going to be glorious. Our current situation is not the end of the story. Verse 21. The creation itself will be set free from its enslavement to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know and we've experienced the natural order of things. We're born, we live, we enjoy stuff, we struggle with stuff, we get sick, we die, we're buried, decayed. That's all going to come to an end. That was never God's plan for his world or for us. That's going to end. Verse 23. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly, while we await for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. One day, the scripture promises, like Jesus himself, we will be raised from the dead. We will receive a new and glorious resurrection body to live with Jesus forever in God's presence. And I know that sounds all well and good, but it's certainly in the future. It's not really helping anything right now, is it? What about now? How can I be thankful now? Is that possible? We know our world groans with pain. We get that. Ever since that downward spiral that happened in the story of our first parents in their beautiful gardens, things have gone downwards ever since. The breach in relationship between those first humans and God became a breach in relationship between themselves and with the whole created order. Everything's broken and suffering. You only need to turn on the news to see that, a story of war. Will they start using nuclear weapons? What about all the migrants with nowhere to go? What about terrorism and corruption and poverty and disease and a hurricane? And you keep going with the list. Creation groans. There has to be something better than this. And sometimes we think, well, yeah. Well, lots of people don't follow Jesus. That's them out there. It's different for us. I've surrendered my life to Christ. I've been saved. I've got God's protection. It's different for me. And I'd say, yeah, kind of. But listen again to verse 23. Not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly while we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Not only does our world suffer, we're being told here, Paul says that we, the children of God, do too. It's hard. You prayed for healing with all the faith you could muster, and the person you prayed for still died. You prayed with all your heart that somehow your marriage would turn around and flourish, and your spouse still divorced you. For years, you've prayed for a decent job. It's never shown up. And you can't pay your bills. You read your Bible every day. You pour your heart out to God. You really do, earnestly and sincerely. And you still struggle with addiction or depression. Why? Because we all suffer. We all live in the same broken world. We're not excluded from it. And it doesn't take a lot to think around our world about how persecuted many Christians are, how they suffer more than most people. You could name countries. But one of the reasons I think we struggle to make sense of all this is not just because bad things happen. It's that we are shocked that bad things happen to us. We get angry because God should be making a better job of all of this. He should treat us better. He should give us health and wealth and happiness, or some of it at least. And right now, it's hard to be thankful when you honestly believe that God has not come through for you. It's just hard to be thankful. But that's never what God's promise is. All of us have good stuff and bad stuff that happens to us in life. But here's the problem. We get round in some way of thinking to say to ourselves, well, if I'm a Christian, if I'm a follower of Jesus, God will give me more good stuff, less bad stuff. The scales will tip. I'll do a bit better than the average Joe because I follow Jesus. It's God's job to make sure that I get healthier or wealthier or happier or wiser, more fulfilled. And we get all bent out of shape when that doesn't happen. But Paul never gives us this sugar-coated version of suffering, saying that bad things are blessings in disguise, or every cloud has a silver lining, or as the followers of Jesus, this will be an easy road. Yes, God can use and redeem bad things for good, but they're still bad. They're still bad. Paul knew that. Let me tell you some of his story in his own words in a letter he wrote, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says this, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." You want some more details, the specifics? He says this, "Three times I was beaten by rods. Once I received a stoning. Three times I was shipwrecked. For a night and day I was adrift at sea." This is kind of like a Titanic holding on to a piece of wood. "On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked." But God was with him. Even in the chaos, even in the pain, even as he endured injustice, God was with him. You see, this invitation to give thanks is an invitation to do more than just focus on the circumstances and the problem and wish them away by pretending to be thankful. God invites us to a lifestyle that recognizes his presence in the middle of the problems. To give thanks in the circumstances, not for them. The invitation is to rediscover God's love and his presence in our lives when it isn't happily ever after. Because it's about Jesus. Romans 8, let me finish the chapter for you, beginning at verse 31. "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's to condemn? It is Christ who died, or rather was raised, and is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it's written, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep to be slaughtered." No. "In all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's about Jesus. His grief at the tomb as he stood there, the tomb of his friend Lazarus, reminds us of how much God hates death. He doesn't want our loneliness or pain or suffering. God hated all that so much that Jesus came that he could both experience it and take it to himself, that he could destroy those things without destroying you. He loves you. He's here today for you, right here in this room, right here in your room at home. He's here for you. And in the circumstances you find yourself in, Jesus is here for you. Nothing can separate you from him. And it's the invitation to rediscover God's love and his presence in your life. It's an invitation to give thanks in all circumstances. It's this very presence of Jesus with us that can take us beyond our natural capacity for gratitude. It can take us well beyond it. On our own, none of us are that good at being thankful. We try, but certainly not in all circumstances. But with Jesus, all things are possible. You see, gratitude, giving thanks, being thankful, it's not an emotion. It's not an emotion. We don't feel it or feel like it, or at least not necessarily so. Giving thanks is not what we feel. It's what we do. It's not an emotion. It is an action. It's an action that anticipates God's coming in all its fullness, just like Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come. We celebrate the lordship of Jesus in advance of sometimes being able to see how that's going to play out. We give thanks in all circumstances, in tough circumstances, because the story is not over. It's Jesus' story. You can give thanks even when we are sick, because one day sickness will be gone. We can give thanks when our lives are stuck in poverty, because one day that will be gone. We can give thanks when we're heartbroken by what has happened, because one day there will be no more tears. We can give thanks even in the circumstance of losing a loved one, because Jesus said he is the resurrection and the life. Your story is not over, and we give thanks in advance because Jesus is making everything new. Giving thanks is celebrating in advance what God is going to do. So how would you learn to do that? How would you learn? Maybe we could start with little things. We could notice them and choose to express gratitude for them. You could look over your day. I know it's still morning, but later on today, you could look over your day with gratitude for God's gifts to you. Be concrete. Make a list if you need to. Recall some stuff. Think about the smell of your morning coffee. It might put me off my sermon. I'll keep going. You could think about the taste of something good that you ate, the laugh of a child, the fragrance of a flower, a kind word, a lesson you learned, the sunshine that's still with us as we head into fall. We could give thanks to God for all of those things. You could look at your own gifts and how they've allowed you to participate in today. You could recall perhaps a strength in that time of difficulty, your ability to hope when you feel quite weak, your sense of humor when life isn't giving you much, your life of faith, your intelligence, your health, your family, your friends. God gives us all of these things that we get to celebrate with. And as you move through the details of a day or your circumstances, we learn to give thanks to God in the big and the small stuff. There are lots of ways that you could practice giving thanks, trying to make a habit of it. A prayer of gratitude before you eat. Lots of us do that. Saying thank you to a person who served you in a store, how long would that take? Surprising someone with a gift. Mailing a card to someone or giving them a phone call. If you live with others, maybe at the evening meal have a conversation together about what you're thankful for today and what happened. And whether you live alone or you live with somebody else, you could find a space in your home for a little notice board or to put some sticky notes up, where you could all take your turns to say what you're thankful for today, so somebody else could read it and celebrate with you. We could make the effort to be a little more intentional to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries of others, people that we care for. When you meet someone, just take a moment to tell them what you appreciate about them. That's not hard. You could volunteer to serve others. We certainly need people in guest services here at FEC in the Deerfoot campus. People in children's ministry on both the campuses, it would be fantastic. You could learn to express your gratitude by serving somebody else. It would be a great thing to do. And if in our Harvest Food Services too, if you're here in person, go onto Main Street, go talk to somebody. We'd love to show you what that would look like. If you're online, you could ask one of the online hosts about opportunities for you. Perhaps you could host an online alpha group. Perhaps you'd be available in some of the chat rooms to talk with other people and to pray with them. It's not hard to give thanks. Here's some other ways. I love this in Psalm 103. Some other ways that we can give thanks. The psalmist writes this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Look at the things you could give thanks for there. We can thank God for his forgiveness. Despite knowing what we know to be true about ourselves, God forgives us. And in a moment or two, we're going to celebrate baptisms. 8 people were baptized here last night. We're baptizing in all the services, all campuses this weekend. We could give thanks for changed lives. And that could be your story too. If you've never said yes to Jesus, today would be a great moment to do that. As you witness these people celebrate the beginning of what God is doing in their lives, that could be you today. We can thank God for healing. That he actually can heal us. And sometimes he does directly, straight up, just things change. And sometimes we need someone to pray with us. And we would love to do that for you in person or online at the end of our worship time. There'll be people available to pray with you. And sometimes it is that God gives wisdom to our medical teams. And sometimes he reminds us that even when we are sick, not even death gets the last word. Jesus does, because Jesus wins. We could thank God for life. You woke up this morning and everything was working, mostly. And Jesus can give us life eternal. He says life to the full, the very full, now and forever. We could thank God for his love and his mercy. He's gracious and kind. He's promised never to leave us. He's always with us. We could thank God even for our food. He's our provider. He satisfies us with all good things. So here's what I'd like us to do. I'd like you to read these verses out loud with me, together in unison, practicing gratitude, even in advance when we don't see it, of all that God is going to do. So would you do that with me? Read the verses that you'll see on the screen out loud as we celebrate and give thanks. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Giving thanks to God in all circumstances. Sounds straightforward, maybe. It actually is possible. We just need to practice.